Please take their seats. I'd like to ask Alderman Laredo if he could please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, folks. We're starting a couple minutes late because of me. Apologize about that. This is a special meeting of the Newton Board of Aldermen for Wednesday, May 16, 2012. Just to call your attention to a couple of things. On your desks this evening, there is the budget reports book that the clerk's office has compiled for us. I believe that's a compilation of all the budget reports that have been put together. There is a memo from the Department of Public Works. There is also some job descriptions as provided by the police department. We have a copy of the budget-related memo from Maureen Lemieux, our chief financial officer, who put together answers to a number of questions that were requested. There is a letter from Mayor Warren asking for an adjustment in the library revolving account. And lastly, there are the budget resolutions that have been offered for consideration to the board. Just a few announcements. The Aldermanic Scholarship Fund. Next month, we will be presenting two $1,000 scholarships, one to a senior from Newton North and one to a senior from Newton South. If you can, please contribute to make these scholarships possible. We'd love to have 100% participation by the board. And please return your donations to the clerk's office as soon as you can. And if you would like to reserve a spot at the mayor's prayer breakfast on May the 23rd, we still have a few seats available. So if you want a seat, please see David Olson. I just want to let everybody know that this meeting is being both audio and video recorded. We do not have a reports docket this evening or a referral docket. We are here this evening to begin our deliberations on the fiscal year 13 budget. So at this time, what I would do is entertain a motion to go into committee of the whole with finance presiding so the chairman could deliberate over the conversation on the fiscal year 13 budget. I have a motion. Is there a second? All those in favor will say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We will now enter into a committee of the whole, and I'll turn the meeting over to the chairman of finance, Alderman Len Gentile.
President, I just want to go over a couple of things quickly so that people know how we hope to proceed this evening, and then we will get right into the different department budgets. As the president mentioned, there are two books in front of us. I'm going to be working off of the mayor's proposed budget and going through from the very beginning and through each department as they appear in this book. I know that people will also be working out of the budget reports book. Just do me a favor so that our colleagues are all on the same page. Just make it clear as to which book you're referring to if you're asking a question or offering a comment. So what we'll do is I'm going to ask the chair of the committee or their designee to give a brief report on the department's budget. There'll be time for members of the board to ask questions. If there are resolutions, I'd like to take them up as they come up in the order in the book. So if there is a resolution that is being offered on a department budget where you heard did the review, please be ready to discuss the resolution so that we can take a vote on that. And then at the end of the discussion on the individual department's budget, I will ask for a motion in committee of the whole. As we stress every year, As long as we are in committee of the whole, and for that matter, when we go back into the full board of aldermen, their amendments to these budgets are always in order. So even though we may vote several budgets tonight, if for some reason later on in the process someone wants to offer an amendment, that is always in order. But in order to keep the process moving, upon the completion of our work in a particular department's budget, I will be asking for a vote. Okay? All right, having said that, the first department this evening is the clerk of the board and the city clerk, and that would be programs and services.
Thank you. The clerk, David Olson, joined the committee to discuss his budget. The budget for the 2013 budget is $1,135,905. There's a decrease in a few of the lines, and those decreases reflect the expenses because this is not a retirement year. Other than that, the only other thing that's not reflected in this budget is the part-time archivist who will be housed over in the with the library, but will be doing a lot of work and I think reporting for the city clerk. That's it.
Are there any questions on the city clerk budget? No. No, we're going to do that. We'll do CIP all at the same time once we get through the regular budget, the operating budget. Yes. Alderman Swiston.
So where does the archivist show up? I know you said it's with the library, so which line item were we looking at?
If you go to the library budget. I don't know if I read the line number. That's fine.
The 0.48 that, yeah, the archivist, which is 0.45 archivist.
And the organizational chart, Amy, at the bottom.
At the bottom of
the organization. Oh, there you go.
Sorry. Yes, the 0.48 archivist. There was a discussion back and forth about whether we needed a full-time archivist, and I think it's clear that we do, but right now we're taking what we can get from the administration with the 0.48.
So, and the reason we mention it is the budget is budgeted in the library. It's, you're just saying that from a reporting structure, they're reporting to.
Yeah, so the way it works, and I don't know if I'm going to explain this clearly, is that the library has to increase its budget by a certain percentage in order to maintain its certification, state certification. And they had a little extra wiggle room, and they were able to do that within the library's budget as opposed to having it in the city clerk.
Okay, are there any other questions? I don't see any resolutions. Are there any resolutions? Okay, so if there are no other questions, can I have a motion to approve the clerk of the board's budget, which is at $1,135,905.
So moved.
Motion is made by Alderman Yates, seconded by Alderman Salvucci. Any further discussion? We can take some of these on voice vote, right? All right. So on a voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Okay, city clerk. Oh, we did that. Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Can I make just an operational suggestion? If the reports produce no resolution or any controversy, whether you might consider voting some of the budgets as a cluster as we go along.
This is the way you're doing it.
This is the way we did it last year. Can I do it as the way I did it last year? All right. Let's try it this way for a while, and if it's not working, I'll take that under advisement, okay? All right. Executive, and that report is finance, and the report will be given by Vice Chair Alderman Fuller.
The budget for the executive department is being proposed for fiscal year 13 at $800,552. It's the same number of positions, eight. There are two notable things to perhaps pay attention to. This is a decrease from fiscal year 12 of $41,000. That is because of the wage reserve for all H grades were in last year's budget. At the same time, one might want to pay attention to the fact that the mayor's salary, which had been $97,876, will increase to $125,000, which the Board of Aldermen had intended to take effect as of January 1st, 2006. It is going into effect now in 2013. The reason why you don't see the budget going up by that same amount is because there are corresponding decreases in the salaries of two positions. One is the director of community engagement, which just changed the person who is holding that position, and the other is the director of performance management, which is currently unfilled. This was carried unanimously in the Finance Committee, and there are no resolutions related to this office.
Thank you. Yes, Alderman Yates.
Just a question on the organizational chart. I note that the Performance Management Director and Performance Management Analyst are listed as reporting to the Chief Financial Officer rather than the Chief Operating Officer. Is there any particular reason for that? Those sound like positions that are part of operating.
Would you like me to try to answer that, or would you like
to... Yeah, it didn't come up in committee. We didn't have the discussion,
right.
But...
I believe that is not a change that they have. It is a change. Maybe we better ask the CFO, Maureen LeBeau, to address that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Alderman Yates, it is a change. You are correct. Those positions had reported to the Chief Operating Officer. I think that's how it was initially structured. But they are really financial in nature. Everything that they do, it's all about performance management. It's about how we save money. It's looking at our energy utilization. It's all those types of things. And so because they are so closely related to the financial aspects of the city, the mayor asked me to take on the role of overseeing those two positions.
Comments and a question. The question is, when are you going to fill the position? And the comment is, I just respectfully just couldn't disagree more. Performance management isn't financial. It's about performance. It has a financial aspect to it that it's used for budget planning, but it's also used for improving the performance of the city. I'm not going to split hairs over it, but I would like to know whether it's going to get filled.
Okay, thank you. I do agree. It goes both ways. So I do agree with you on that. We have interviewed for the position. We actually have a very good candidate. We're in the process of background checks.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Yes. Alderman Johnson.
It's not a question, it's a comment, which I'm glad to see the mayor is finally taking his increase. It's way overdue, and I can't remember when the Blue Ribbon Commission actually approved that. I was part of that, and a city this size deserves to pay its executive. And actually, it's behind the times now already.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, as Alderman Fuller said, there was... Yes, Alderman Danborough.
Thank you. I may have misunderstood. I heard that there was an offset of the mayor's salary by a corresponding decrease in the salary from FY12 to FY13 in the Director of Community Engagement and the Performance Manager.
On page 5, it shows an increase. Could you just clarify that? It shows increases in both of those positions. From performance manager from 69 to 72, and from community engagement, for community engagement from 54.8 to 67.7. I just, if you could just clarify that.
It's possible I just misspoke. Can you clarify, Maureen? Actually, that is right. The book's incorrect, and we got better information from that. If you look in the budget report on page 3, the pages after page 3, there's updated information on the salaries, and the more correct information is in the budget report rather than the big budget book.
That answered my question.
Okay.
Thank you.
But just to clarify, the book is not incorrect. What the book was reflecting, the budget book in front of you reflects the person who was most recently in that position, and that was Megan Costello. The position was budgeted at $88,000 when Sarah was in the position. And so the savings from budget year over year is really from $88,000 to $67,000. So there is a real savings in that line item.
Again, this is also not a question, more of an observation, since Alderman Johnson brought it up. I just wanted to say that, you know, even though I may have a philosophical difference about how an elected official salary is determined, I felt that in this particular case, this was a salary number that was accepted and voted into place 7 years ago, and it's been more of a political game. And you know, he fitted into the budget, and I think that it's appropriate. It wasn't him giving himself a raise. This was just, you know, following what was voted and approved by the Board of Aldermen 7 years ago.
Alderman Johnson.
I just want to assure of the board, members of the board who are not on the board at the time the Blue Ribbon Commission was held, that the comprehensive approach of benchmarking the way it is traditionally done around the world was comprehensive. This was led by Matt Hills, and this was not a political discussion by any stretch. We looked at comparables, and it was a very thorough approach, and I'm very comfortable that the process that we took is one that I would use today in my job. So again, we need to do it again, but this was not a political process. However it came, once the board approved it, whatever happened, that's a different story, but I just want the community to understand it was very well done.
Okay, there's a the executive department budget has been approved in finance for an amount of $800,552. Is there a motion? Alderman Yates moves approval, seconded by Alderman Ciccone. Any further discussion? Voice vote, seeing none. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion passes unanimously. Next is the comptroller.
In your, Chairman Gentile, what are we calling this book tonight? We're calling this the budget book? No, I think this is the budget report, so we're calling this the budget book. Okay, if I'd like to draw your attention, terrific. In the mayor's proposed budget, there are two things that I'd like to draw your attention to. First is on the first page under the comptroller tab is the core functions of the comptroller. The budget, the proposed budget there is for fiscal year 2013 is $573,874, which is a very slight increase from the previous year. Same number of positions, very little change there. However, if you go a couple pages back, you'll see that within the comptroller's office, the department legal level of control, the budget is much larger. So if you look at the department summary, it's $30,340,510,000. The reason why is you'll see some major expenses that kind of are reported through the comptroller. I'd just like to draw your attention to a couple of them. There's a $26.3 million fiscal year 13 item for our retirement costs. That is 8.4% of our total $312 million general fund. So this is a very large number, and we should pay attention to it. $15.8 million of this is for retiree pensions. $8.8 million is for retiree health care. This is an increase of $1.1 million over the previous year as these costs have gone up. The other thing you might just want to look at here is our reserve fund has increased. Bit of a discussion, and you can find this in the budget report book on page 7 and right after that if you want to, about the snow and ice reserve. There's $1 million in DPW, another $1.5 million in reserve funds. That comes to a total of $2.5 million. If you run the numbers, our trailing five-year average for snow and ice operations is actually $3.5 million, so we're short a million. However, the CFO expects to put an additional $500,000 in the inclement weather fund soon using FEMA reimbursements, and she also expects free cash to be available if necessary if we have a hard winter. This department was voted unanimously in favor.
On the organizational chart, there are two accounting assistants listed for payables. One is a full-time position for municipal payables, and the school payables is listed as 0.4 of an FTE. Since the school budget is at least equal to, if not exceeding, the municipals, I'm just curious, why does it take less of a position or less of a percentage of an FTE to handle that?
May I direct that to our comptroller?
Why does it take only a 0.4 position to do school payables and a full-time position to do municipal payables? Part of the answer to that is that the position that we've got labeled for municipal payables, in addition to doing municipal payables, also does about a quarter of her time payroll. She backs up. There's a position called accounting specialist in the table of organizations that does, we've got it labeled cash receipts and payroll. That really, there should be a piece of payroll review under the municipal accounting assistant.
Are there any other questions or comments? Yes, Alderman Fishman.
So Alderman Fuller, the $5 million funds available, because every year we keep adding on to it, but that covers all the expected snow and ice or bad winters aside, et cetera, or did I miss something?
Again, we could ask the CFO if we like, but actually while we're building up our snow and ice reserve and our inclement weather fund, if we have a bad winter, at this point we'd have to draw on free cash to pay for it if it hit our five-year trailing average. So we haven't set aside as much as the CFO would like to set aside yet, but we're moving in the right direction.
If I may add, Alderman Fishman, this is the same thing that we did this year, which is the CFO identified and held aside a couple of million dollars of free cash for snow and ice. And that's, and of course, because we had the mild winter, that's one of the reasons that we were able to put some additional money into the rainy day stabilization fund. So it's similar to what we did this past year. There's actually a little bit more money in this next year's budget because of the inclement weather fund. So I think we had 4.5 available this year. Next year we'll have 5 if you take into consideration the free cash. And, okay, Alderman Swist.
I apologize. I was hoping that maybe it's just my math, but you said that it's budgeted 500. $1,000 in snow and ice reserve line item is budgeted at $1.5 million, and the trailing is $3.5 million. So aren't we off by, we're off by $1.5 million, right? Where's the $2.5
million? I believe that we have $1.5 million in the snow and ice reserve, $1 million in the DPW budget. That totals 2.5, so we're short 1 million, but we intend, the CFO intends to add another $500,000 to the inclement weather fund soon using FEMA reimbursements that are due in soon. You might have to look at the budget report under the comptroller's area, which starts on page 7.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. So can I have a motion to approve the comptroller's budget, which is $573,874, including, in addition to that, all of the line items on pages 4 and 5, which are the retirement, workers' comp, insurance, and all of those accounts which appear on pages 4 and 5 in the comptroller budget. Okay, motion is made by Alderman Crossley, seconded by Alderman Lappin. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Next is purchasing.
The CFO presented the purchasing budget. There will be the same number of positions, 5 people, and a budget of $421,459,000. Our chief procurement officer left for a terrific opportunity for her, so the CFO is currently looking to fill that role. And it was carried unanimously.
Questions? They are into, yes, Alderman Laredo.
Could we just get an update on where we are with the search process for that new person?
They have interviewed 4 candidates, 5 candidates you brought in. 4 candidates, and you're down to 1 or 2 finalists, so that position should be filled very soon. Are there any other questions? Yes, Alderman Danberg.
Sorry, I'm not using my mic. FY11, it's 6 persons full-time, 0 part. In FY12, it's 5 and 0. In FY13, it's 5 and 0. The increase is a little over 11%. Would somebody like to comment on that?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We actually reclassified two of the clerks in that department. With all of the building projects that we have, one of the purchasing clerks went and has become certified as an MCPPO and is actually sitting on our school building committee that we've established for Anger. The other clerk has also taken on a tremendous amount, additional amount of responsibility. So there was some reclassification there.
Thank you very much.
All right, seeing none, the budget as approved by Finance was for $421,559. May I have a motion?
Move.
Alderman Johnson moves it, seconded by Alderman Sangiolo. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Assessing.
The budget for fiscal year 13 is proposed at $1.157 million. It's a very slight increase from the fiscal year 12 amended budget. It's an increase of 1.3%. It is the same number of employees, 13, and this was carried unanimously in committee.
Questions? Okay, seeing none, the department budget as proposed is $1,157,220. May I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Alderman Danberg, seconded by Alderman Ciccone. Any further discussion?
Do we have to worry about overlay this year because of the case?
I can explain it, but it's not.
No, that, you mean the Verizon case?
Yeah, that doesn't.
No, not the Verizon case. The Verizon case.
Right.
That money had been kept aside.
Right.
Until the case was resolved. So,
does that empty the overlay account? Oh, okay.
The overlay account is still very healthy. Okay, and this money was kept in addition to what would have normally been kept in overlay. So this was an additional money just for this very reason.
So when they finally settle all the details of that, will they come back to Finance? Or do they just automatically deduct? Because I know that there were some nuances that they were going to not necessarily appeal, but work out.
Go ahead.
The refund of the taxes just paid out of the assessor's allowance for abatements and exemptions, the so-called overlay account, so then they wouldn't come back. The only area that we might have to come back for, depending upon how they settle the case, would be any interest that's owed on the refund. And if it turns out that is significant, then that would have to be an appropriation. Separate from the refund of the tax. So.
Okay, so there's a motion. It was seconded. Any further discussion? All right, voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Treasury.
Treasurer Jim Reardon came in and joined us. The budget for fiscal year 13 of $1,066,337 is essentially level with the previous year, and they're going to have the same number of employees, which is 10. I'm going to point out two things just because I find it particularly interesting. In the mayor's proposed budget, under this tab, if you look on page 7, you'll see the interest on long-term debt, and it essentially stays level this coming year at $7.4 million. If you turn the page to page 8, you'll also see the state assessments, which is also interesting. It does increase by $255,000 to $5.8 million, and that is essentially because of our MBTA assessment increasing to $5.39 million, up essentially $300,000. This did carry unanimously in the Finance Committee.
Okay, there is one item that a request that we have from the administration. It was in our packets on Friday, and it is a request to increase account number 011077358380 qualified bond interest. Newton North High School by $5,000 and to offset that by a reduction in account number 011042-575007 workers' compensation by $5,000. Maureen, do you want to explain this briefly to us, please?
David may be in a better position.
When we issued 30-year debt associated with the North High School project, the statute that allowed us to issue debt for that term required that the debt be something called qualified debt, state qualified debt, meaning that when it comes time to make the debt service payments, the Commonwealth, state of Massachusetts, makes those debt service payments on our behalf. And then what happens is that when they actually send us our state aid and impose our state assessments for things like the MBTA, what happens is that state deducts from the state aid that they send us the debt service that they paid on our behalf. Well, the bonds that we issued for the North High School project, many of them have maturities in early June, and the state aid isn't paid to us until late June, the last day of June. We actually have to pay the state a certain amount of short-term interest for them carrying the cost of the debt service for the month of June, and that's what this $3,000 to $5,000 a year that we need to budget is for. We simply forgot and left it out of the budget because it's such a small number. The proposal is to actually reduce the workers' comp appropriation by that amount and increase this, which is not a problem. So,
okay, well, why don't we start there? On the amendment, which does not affect the bottom line, but just transfers, increases one account and decreases another, are there any questions or comments on that? All right, so why don't we vote on the amendment first. All those in favor, by voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so the amendment passes. The budget is $1,066,376. May I have a motion on the budget? Motion is made by Alderman Sangiolo, seconded by Alderman Lappin. Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes unanimously. Okay, we'll give Ruthann a little break. We'll go to the Law Department.
Thank you. The bottom, Donald and Kahn came in to present the Law Department's budget. The budget presented is $1,239,143. There was a slight increase. That's mostly due to salaries and health insurance. She came in to discuss highlights of the year. Some of the things that she's been doing, she's double-tiered her staff. I don't know if anyone's noticed in their committee meetings that there are sometimes two solicitors who are there. She's trying to make sure that there's backup for us. She did tell us that by hiring the telecommunications attorney, he was able to do his own sort of internal audit and found $125,000 of an underpayment for INET. And they also found some uncashed checks totaling $10,000, and I think they're working with Dave Wilkinson on that. They're stepping up their collections for police details. They said that if you find people waiting outside the office, that's because they're making them pay up front. They have a labor attorney who's been doing a lot of good work, particularly working with our unions and working on the contracts. The reason that your budget report shows a transcription is because there was a resident who came to our committee meeting and had some concerns, but he didn't address our committee, but he asked that there be a transcription of the budget discussion, and that's why I thought I'll just include the transcription. His issue seems to be with the school's representation of SPED. Another thing that Donald Lynn Kahn had mentioned was that they're taking on a lot of the cases for the schools. I haven't heard from the gentleman, so I don't know what his issues are, but that's why there's a transcription. I think the best comment that came out of committee was something that Alderman Hess-Mahan had said. I think it was Alderman Hess-Mahan who commented that we actually have sort of a mini law office within our city, and that's the way they've been operating, and that's why they've been very professional, and it has helped us navigate through a lot of difficult issues. The motion was to approve or discharge the budget, and that carried unanimously. And I don't think there's anything in the
resolution. Okay. Alderman Yates? The outcomes, reduced labor grievances and reduced education-related litigation, did she give any specific numbers as number of claims, not amount paid out, or any way we can determine if those things have in fact been reduced?
She didn't give us any numbers. You're saying
that's a goal for next year.
You're saying that did she project any numbers of what
yes.
she should be able to say? She did not.
So, okay. Thank you. Alderman Swiston.
I was wondering if there was any clarity. I think I know the answer, but the one thing we've noticed for each department that we've reported out so far is that the ability to keep the increase low seems to be that while salaries may have increased, expenses and benefits in every department seems to have gone down to allow for raises, yet keeping the budget under control. This is our first department we're hitting where the expenses and benefits still went up. Could you just talk to that?
I can't, but I'll defer to Maureen because that didn't come up during our budget discussion.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, what happens in some of the smaller departments when we have turnover, if a person who was not taking insurance leaves and somebody who comes in and is on a family plan, you may see differences in the insurance coverage. That's exactly what happened in this department. We had a few people leave, and the people who have come on are in family plans. Overall, across the city, our insurance numbers either stayed the same or decreased a little, but you will see fluctuations in the different departments.
Yes, Alderman Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple of things. On outcome two, where it says reduce labor and grievances, I'm glad to see that. That should be a human resource objective as well, because if you have well-trained managers and supervisors, that should go down. So
I would hope that we look at making sure that our managers are trained, because that's the only way that's going to go down. So I'm glad to see that, and I think it would be helpful to have some sort of update, Mr. President, on maybe a biannual basis of how that is happening. The other thing, just out of curiosity, what is education-related litigation?
That's representing the schools.
I think we could have made that a simpler language. Thank you.
I wanted to point out one item that was pointed out to me by our comptroller. Under the expenses, if you look at the actual budget of FY 2010, legal services, you know, outside legal counsel costs were $329,069 just back in FY 2010, and next year they are budgeted for $25,000. So I think the department has clearly followed through on the pledge to reduce that line item. So, okay, the amount that was approved is $1,239,143. Is there a motion? Motion's made by Alderman Lapton, seconded by Alderman Laredo. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Next budget is human resources.
Dolores Hamilton joined us. The budget looks quite different in fiscal year 13 compared to fiscal year 12. The fiscal year 13 budget is proposed to be $870,746. This is down from $1.091 million in FY 12. However, we will soon be talking about a new department called the Financial Information Systems Department. The reason human resources is decreasing is because two of the full-time people in that department are being transferred into the new Financial Information Services Department. And in addition, some of the budget that was for repair and maintenance of financial software and equipment is being transferred to the new department as well. So at the same time, there are two part-time positions that are going to be added to this department. So you have to subtract some people, add a few other positions, and then you end up with your HR department. They propose to be doing the same work in the future that they are currently with this just slightly different organization. It did carry unanimously in the Finance Committee.
Alderman Sangiolo.
That didn't require a reorg?
We voted it.
Oh, you did?
Voted it.
Oh, I don't remember it.
It went, it was about a month ago, it went through finance and then the full board voted it. So yes, the answer is yes, but it was reorg. Any other questions? Yes, Alderman Johnson.
So I ask Maureen if we could please add to the human resources outcomes the number two from the from the solicitor's office around reducing labor grievances and litigation, because it has it's a responsibility of both, actually all departments, but that. Then the other question I have is, to whom does the HR director report?
Technically, as with all department heads, they report to the manager, but our office is structured so that the operational department heads report to Bob, the financial type department heads work with me, and so Dolores works with me.
And she's a financial person?
Well, she isn't financial, but she goes to our finance cluster on Fridays, and that's where she has landed. There's a huge benefit, because benefits are part of hers.
Okay.
That's primarily why she works with
me. Okay. Not sure I agree with that, but that's okay. But if you could please add the outcome, I would greatly appreciate it.
Alderman Twiston.
I realize, Alderman, that this is Alderman Johnson's area of expertise. I guess I took outcome number 4 to be similar to outcome number 2, but you clearly have a different...
I'm sorry?
I see outcome... I had taken outcome number 4.
No, if you read in the report that Amy submitted, it's about disputes, but... It's actually grievances where it's against management policy. If you read on page 28 of the report, it's workplace, a quarterly labor management training on respect in the workplace. So there is a difference. Trust me.
Okay.
So I'm not saying it's in place of, it's in addition to. Okay.
Alderman Yates. I'm intrigued in outcome 2 about the establishment or development of a diversity council, but I'm not sure I know what that is. Is that a staff committee or is it the outside committee? Could somebody tell me what that is?
Thank you. I think we will end up having components of both. Staff and perhaps a couple of citizens.
Maureen, isn't there some sort of a requirement? And we used to have an EEO affirmative action, and I'm trying to remember his name. It's on the Leon Braithwaite. So I thought there was some sort of requirement around that. And does this kind of play into that? I would think.
There certainly is a requirement. And with Leon's departure, Terry in Human Resources is the one who has taken that over. We actually had an intern here for the past several months, and she did a study. She went back over the years. And did a study on different minority, the numbers of minority employees that we've had over the years. And then we've also looked at the community. And as I'm sure this won't surprise any of you, there's a very large Asian population in this community. And they clearly are not represented in our workforce. Our black population or African American is fairly small in the city. They are well represented in police and fire, but and in the mayor's office, but not really in management. And so we've taken a look at all of these things, and this will now be the next step in really ensuring that we have a diverse workforce.
Yes, and I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Alderman Taylor.
So I noticed on the training line, years 2010, 2011 are less than 50% of what we're recommending for next year. I'm just wondering what that training is, just to get an understanding of that.
What page you want, David?
Page 3 of the department detail. Yeah, mayor's budget book to 40,000. 5319.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I don't have the specific list with me, but I think you can gather from many of Alderman Johnson's questions, the city has been woefully lacking in training, and so this is an effort to really begin to beef up that budget.
That's right.
Any other questions? Okay, so the finance recommendation was for approval, $870,745. May I have a motion? Motion's made by Alderman Johnson, seconded by Alderman Albright. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes unanimously. Remember, everyone has to get on the stat sheet. IT, Information Technology.
Acting Director Joe Mulvey joined us and walked us through the proposed budget, which is $1,000,000. $8,801, which is down from $1.12 million in fiscal year 12. It's a somewhat complicated reason why. You remember we talked a minute ago about the new Financial Information Systems Department. IT is also affected by the establishment of that department. One part-time employee that is currently in IT will be moving over to Financial Information Systems. At the same time, the IB department will actually be adding an additional full-time employee, a junior programmer. Simultaneously, there's a transfer of $158,000 of a repair and maintenance item over to the new department. So those are, you have to do the adding and subtracting to understand, therefore, why the budget is down a bit. Much of our discussion was in committee was about the citywide fiber network. If you look in your five-year CIP plan and look at priority number 28, you will see that the proposal is to spend $1 million over a three-year period just to lay down the fiber network. It's $500,000 in fiscal year 13, $250,000 in fiscal year 14, and $250,000 in fiscal year 15. The design contract for this is supposed to actually go out and be awarded, I think, in May, in this month, and then actually award the installation contract in August 2012, and then do the 3 years of the installation, which leads us to budget resolution number 8 in your handouts. Submitted by Alderman Lappin and Albright.
Ruth Ann, I'm assuming that that is more for the CIP than
okay.
the operating budget, but we can ask the makers of the motion. Is that, because that's being carried in the CIP, so we'll take it up then? Okay.
Good enough. In that case, this budget did carry unanimously.
Okay. Other questions? Okay, seeing none, the recommendation of the finance was unanimous approval for $1,008,802. May I have a motion? Motion is made by Alderman Ciccone, seconded by Alderman Salvucci. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes unanimously. Okay, elections. Back to programs and services.
Craig Manso, the election secretary, came to present the budget. The budget that he presented is a total of $447,694. You'll notice that there's a decrease, but that decrease reflects the fact that we have two elections this year. I think that's basically it. We discussed filling in the position for Fay Cohen and the retirement of Elaine DeFilippis. We talked about the census, and he talked about his desired outcomes. I think the two that stand out in my mind was to increase voter turnout, and the second one was to, go into the schools to get them to embrace voting. And the committee approved the budget, or recommended to bring it here.
But there is a, throughout in these departments, one of the, obviously the key things is that there's a change in personnel, but it looks, they are eliminating one full-time position next year, is that correct? Going from four, I believe, full-time down to three?
Maureen is saying yes, but I don't remember us discussing the elimination of the position. Alderman Linsky had asked about the salary.
Maureen, can you explain
certainly
that's being eliminated?
The position that was vacated by Elaine was not eliminated. He felt that position was important and needed to be filled. There were two other employees in that department, and so that position was posted, and you know, they both certainly had the opportunity to apply for it. So what we did from a financial perspective is we have budgeted enough money for either employee to get that promotion, and then what I did is carry a negative of the lower paid employee. That way, whichever one ends up filling the position, at least we've covered ourselves financially. So there is going to be one less position there.
Okay, no resolutions. All right, so the programs and services has recommended approval of the election budget at $447,694. May I have a motion? Motion is made by Alderman Swiston, seconded by Alderman Linsky. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, there is one abstention. David, you have that? Okay. Okay, next is planning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is on page 37 of the budget report book. And a fairly straightforward budget as far as what they do. It actually, it's quite a complex department, and much of their funding comes out of, you know, grants from the government, CDBG. I have asked that this be a little bit more integrated, because unless you go to look at the grants page, it's hard to tell. So I think this is maybe third, fourth, fifth year of ask running somehow in the budget book to kind of point, do the whole picture, and we're not flipping back and forth. One area from a financial aspect, and this is on page 38 of the budget report book, there was some questions regarding the funding of the for the zoning reform work in phase one, and how it's, you know, going to be funded, because there's $75,000 already in the budget, but there's some more additional $25,000 in economic development. It's been a long day, so please excuse me for other large projects, and I think the committee was satisfied. Alderman Baker did had a concern regarding conservation, and coming out of both of these areas are two resolutions that, when appropriate, I can bring them forward. But the budget did get voted out of committee. I think the word Alderman Sangiello used was discharged. So we got discharged. So that's really pretty much it. It's pretty straightforward, not a lot of changes. It's just the zoning reform and how the commitment from the mayor is getting carried forward.
Okay, well, why don't we maybe, yes, Alderman Baker, you want to start with your resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then the resolution, it's number one, and indicates the resolution is honor the mayor requesting an increase of $25,000 to the conservation fund subject to a funding source. This was an amount that we had talked about as a possible sum, because the current amount allocated to the conservation fund is $25,000, and that is proven to be inadequate to take care of the issues in the city involved in conservation land maintenance. Subsequent to that, I've had conversations with the chief financial officer, who should report her own view on this subject, but my understanding is that the administration has docketed a request to add an additional sum, I think in the order of $30,000. 27? Sorry. That's fine. To this fund, in part from another fund in terms of the payments to the city for storm damage, because there's a significant amount of storm damage in the conservation areas as well as other places in the city. So I'm not quite sure how to proceed with the resolution. I think the resolution is still in order, but the administration, to its great credit, has seemed fit to respond to this already. So I would ask the chair how he would like to proceed.
Well, I think that if you, well, first of all, let's have Maureen explain what the plan is, and if everyone, and if you're satisfied that you're going to end up actually with $2,000 more than you would have hoped for, then I would think we could NAN the resolution if you're satisfied.
Yeah, I mean, certainly.
All right, let's see what Maureen.
And as you know, back when we passed the financial management guidelines, we had talked about in those guidelines setting up the inclement weather fund that I have talked about for a couple of years. This year we received about $530,000 in FEMA reimbursements. And so what we docketed this past Monday is a request to actually establish that inclement weather fund and to appropriate or to transfer $500,000 of, or a little over $500,000 because some of it came from a different source. So to transfer that money into that inclement weather fund. And then additionally, what we docketed was a request to take the remaining $27,000 and some change and transfer that for conservation maintenance. I know that Alderman Baker had talked to, I think it was Commissioner DeRubis, and we're trying to come up with different ideas of how we could perhaps fund the conservation maintenance at a higher level in years to come, but we didn't have a reliable, you know, funding source going forward for this year, and so that's why we chose to take it. We thought that taking it from the FEMA reimbursements was certainly an appropriate use of that funding. And so all of that has been docketed and will be on your docket on this coming Monday.
I just want to say I think that's quite ingenious on the administration's part, and I hope the board will ultimately approve the request to transfer. But I'll yield to my colleagues on the discussion.
Well, we're going to, in finance, we're going to take it up as soon as we can, so I can assure you of that, and I would assume that it will get to the full board right after that. So let's see if there are any other questions, and then you know, we can decide as the maker of the resolution if you want to NAN it or not.
Okay.
And Alderman Sangiola.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I'm just concerned that there's no funding source identified for years after that. Because whenever there's one-time money, you know, people get used to the one-time money and they spend it on something, and you got to make sure that they don't spend it on something that they're going to need funding later on, because then they come back and say that they... Again, I think it's great that we found it, but that's my concern.
We've talked about one of the questions I want to explore, and it involves a conversation with Commissioner DeRubis, is that the 25 comes from the golf course, and 25 goes into recreation. This is the only funding for conservation, whereas recreation has alternative funding sources. So it may be that in future years we might be able to work out something, and I've talked to the chairman of the foundation for the golf course about this, whether I have to just go back and check the historical record for the split, that we may be able to allocate the full $50,000 to the conservation fund, because the recreation fund has other sources of revenue where conservation does not, and that may help for future years. But right now, we didn't have the opportunity to do that, and I thought this was a very ingenious solution. So I would be prepared to either withdraw or NAN, depending on the chair's preference, this resolution in light of what we've heard from the administration.
Okay. Alderman Fuller?
Also, in response to Alderman Sangiola's good question, my understanding is that these funds get spent on outside contractors, so at least we're not putting a new person, let's say, on the payroll. So if the funds weren't available the following year, at least it doesn't have an implication for our full-time employees or part-time employees.
Okay.
And is it one other resolution?
All right, well, are we done on this item? And I'm going to ask for to NAN it, if that's all right with you,
yep.
Alderman Baker.
Right.
Okay, so the motion is to NAN the resolution since the desired outcome is in process, is in the process of happening. So all those in favor of NAN, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right, that passes unanimously. All right, your second resolution.
It's budget resolution 4 by Alderman Crossley and Alderman Hesmahan.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Sorry, it's number 5. I misread. So this is Alderman Albright. It also says
fees, inspectional services, and planning department.
Yeah, but in the ISD report, there's some discussion around that. So let's address this one on number 5 first, and then when we get to ISD, we can talk about that one.
Who's going to present? This is offered by Alderman Albright, Callis, and Hesmahan. It's a resolution to request an additional planner in the Department of Planning and Community Development. So Alderman Albright.
I can start, please. Excuse me. So this year, I think we can all recognize that the planning department has been extremely busy with many projects, the Riverside project and many other projects. And we, as we look into the future, these projects don't diminish. There'll be more, as mentioned in the whereases, there are more citywide projects that the planning department needs to pay attention to. And the problem is there are a lot of projects sitting waiting in the wings that could potentially bring revenue and to the city. For example, the Austin Street parking lot, I don't believe the RFP has gone out yet, and that was approved by the board many months ago, and this isn't for lack of the planning department being able to do it. They just haven't had time. There are things sitting in reuse that are waiting to be done. The planning department hasn't had time. So this is sort of like put some money in, and we're going to get a lot of money back, was the concept, because the tax revenue that comes from these projects can certainly fund in the future a new planner in the planning department. The amount needed for a new planner was proposed in the resolution, and we looked into various funding sources. We spoke with the comptroller about one possibility and had another conversation with Maureen about another, and those didn't pan out, but I think there's some interest on the part of the executive to look into this and to find a funding source, if not for July 1st, maybe for later in the year based on revenue coming in from new growth. Maybe Maureen could speak to that.
Okay, and the expenses that you are referring to are on the back side of the resolution, and so we're looking at approximately $90,000 all in with health insurance and
right.
OPEB and
right.
For the position.
We had just we had asked the director of planning and community development for some numbers about how much revenue could be brought in by a planner that paid attention to these kinds of projects, and I don't think we got that number, but it's perhaps we could get it.
Okay, Alderman Hesmahan.
Yeah, I just want to amplify briefly on what Alderman Albright started, which was actually pretty comprehensive. I mean, just to give you some examples of some of the backlog that we're getting and why it could make a difference in this year. There are projects that get into the queue for design review for special permits, and that sometimes literally, you know, fall off the table because, I mean, the Riverside zoning, obviously, that took up a lot of the staff's time. There's a lot of work being done on Needham Street. There's a lot of work being done on Austin Street and other projects like that. Those are farther time horizons, but it takes time away from the staff that supports the special permit review. And those are examples of new growth that bring in many cases, both short-term money from building permit fees and also cost of long-term money from new growth, and I think we're foregoing that. And I mean, I've often said, and we've cut the staff in the planning department over the years by 1,000 tiny cuts. I think it's a point at which we ought to be adding staff back so that we can get to some of these projects that are economic development for the city. We have an economic development planner, but it doesn't help a whole lot if we don't have someone who can do the development review.
Okay, Alderman Johnson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just want to update the board. Part of the issue is that Jen Malinsky left several months ago, so that left a huge hole in many, for many reasons. And I'm actually participating in interviews with the chief planner on, and this is towards the end of the selection process this Tuesday. So they're getting close to backfilling Jen's, and I believe that's gone to full time. So that will not, I'm not saying that that negates the needs of this resolution by any stretch, but that will help the department having a full-time resource. She was part-time, and then when she left, that left a big hole. So I just wanted everyone to know.
Okay, on the resolution, yes, Alderman Crossley and then Alderman Lynchby.
Actually, to follow on to what Alderman Johnson just said, I believe it's true, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the reason that the Jen Malinsky's position is being now filled with a full-time position is because we added a half-time position to the department, which is to take care of the zoning reform work. So that work, you know, so half of that position is already eaten up. And just wanted to make that clear for everybody.
Alderman Lynchby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly agree with the spirit of the resolution. I guess my thinking is that I don't know if it necessarily calls for a permanent position, but it certainly calls for more staff. And so I would just stand to say that I'd be in favor of keeping the same amount for purposes of our budget, but also opening it up to whether it can be contracted as well, because I think there's a real necessity of getting someone in qualified as soon as possible with the flexibility of doing so. So I would not be averse for the department to be able to contract that work as well. I mean, this, as has been pointed out, we've had some key losses over the past few years, and I know it's been very difficult and a lot of burden placed in this department. And I certainly think that the resolution is correct to recognize that, but I think we could have a broader sense of or broader choice of potential resolutions in addition to just a permanent position.
Alderman Johnson, and then...
The only concern I have about this resolution, and I don't recall we discussed this with the planning director at the time in the budget conversation, and maybe the chair will remind me otherwise. We did not. And I'm a little troubled about putting a resolution forward, even for the purposes that I think are quite laudable, to make sure we have sufficient staff, but this is not something that was identified by the department chair as an issue at the time. So I guess I would be more in favor of having a sense of the board that we certainly want the development review process to be as swift as possible and as thorough as possible, and that the department look at it as it goes forward to see whether, in fact, it has the resources to do what needs to be done. I actually have been quite impressed with the quality of work the department has been presenting us, even with the short staff they have. I think the work they did on Riverside was quite substantial and quite thorough. So it didn't seem to me that we were suffering at the point of not being able to get the work done. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't have the new position filled and do all of these things, but I guess I would feel a little more comfortable about this if I knew what the funding source ultimately was going to be, and that, in fact, this is a pump-priming exercise. And I also share Alderman Minsky's point that maybe contracting some of these services would be a wise way to amplify the power of the department without necessarily adding a permanent position. So those are the questions I guess I have.
Alderman Johnson, but can you also just clarify one point for me, and if you already explained this and I missed it, I apologize, but it looks in the budget that there is an increase in full-time staff from 10 to 11, but then there's a reduction in part-time staff.
That's the, Jen was a part-time, and now it's a full-time, so that's the switch there.
So
that position, yeah. Half, it's the half.
those. So
there, at least theoretically, there will be more planning time available next year.
Well, I didn't know this, that the position that is being the Jen Malinsky backfilled, that a portion of that was during the zoning reform. That was news to me tonight. So I missed that somewhere along the line. I want to respond to two things. First, to Alderman Linsky, I can appreciate, you know, the contract aspect of it, and that would take an assessment by the planning director of the actual accessibility to people who do this on a contract basis. I just don't know. I'm not familiar with that. And it doesn't always reduce your costs. So, and if economic development, which is, if I understand the resolution from our colleagues, is really where you would focus this person, I mean, it will pay for itself. That's one thing. Alderman Baker, as far as did Candace say that she needed more people, and I didn't say it to her, ask her this year, I did last year, as I would say to most of department heads, they paint a very rosy picture of always doing more with less. And I meet with Candace regularly. I have sometimes during the Riverside project review by zoning and planning almost daily. This is a staff that is extremely understaffed. And if you were to really say, what wouldn't you do, I think they would be hard-pressed. But there's just a lot of time, a lot of overtime. And I think she's just being polite. But I can tell you there are things sitting on the zoning and planning docket that many of you have been after me to get them done, and there's just not enough resources. So I would wholeheartedly support this. It sounds like there's potential for resources for the funding of it on down the road, but it is a needed position. And thank you, Alderman. Was it Albright and Hespahan? Kayla?
Yes.
Thank you.
So I just want to say a couple words. So Alderman Baker, you know, in my minimal tenure on the board, being on the planning or on the zoning committee, I completely agree with you on the exceptional work that Candace and her team is doing. But I think what we're trying to do is we're seeing that there are a lot of projects coming down the pike. There are projects that are have been stalled in the process, not because they don't want to get to them, but just simply because of time constraints. And we're trying to get ahead of that problem and trying to before it reaches a peak, trying to get those resources that we need. So it's really about trying to get in front of this, and that's what the spirit of this is to try to address the backlog that we have. Now, whether it is permanent or part-time, to Alderman Linsky's comments, you know, if there is someone that's qualified, I'm not opposed to part-time. I prefer permanent, but I think that the need is now, and that's why we felt strongly about putting this forward here. I just want to reiterate one thing that Alderman Albright did mention, is that this, you know, what this does is it would hopefully accelerate the planning of a lot of the projects that we have that are that generate revenue for the city, and that I think is a key point, and that this could be paid for by with the work that the planning department puts in.
Alderman Fisher.
So just following up on the discussion of my colleagues, I don't see any downside of passing this resolution. I think obviously the administration is going to have to find the source, you know, whether it comes from Chestnut Hill or from other projects. And I guess the only thing, you know, again, to have some input later on, whatever that position is going to be, that description, you know, there are 8 or 9 whereases, and I'm sure when the planning director comes up with what she would like to do, she would do a description that would perhaps elaborate on that, and then that I would assume that's reviewed by the committee, by planning and zoning, although I'm not entirely sure. But again, I don't see any downside of this.
And I think it provides another, if you will, another arrow in the quiver for the planning director. And as Alderman Albright and Alderman Hessman have said, there's a lot of balls that are kind of in the air on various committees, and I'm sure and a new ball that's identified with the Cypress Street lot that several of the aldermen would like to see looked at more carefully, and that could be a generator. So I think this gives her some ability and some flexibility, and if necessary, to bring on a new person. And this time next year, we'll see whether that person really worked out, if we are able to convince the administration to do this.
If, in fact, we pass this resolution, it sounds like we are likely to, I would actually ask the administration to come back, not only in response to this, but to consider coming back with a broader response, which is, if you're going to add a person to the municipal government, is, in fact, the planning department the highest priority from your point of view? I'm mindful that the police chief is sitting there. I know that we need additional officers in, I believe it's in community policing. I believe the IT department is understaffed. I believe public buildings is understaffed. There are some who say Treasury is understaffed, or the library is understaffed. So I, while this is a very thoughtful resolution and makes a very strong case for the planning department, I'd be interested to hear the mayor's reaction, whether this is in fact, if we were going to allocate an additional $100,000 to personnel, if this is where they in fact would put it. Thank you.
I want to actually ask Maureen if she had some thoughts on this resolution. It would be helpful to hear them. But I also want to point out, for years, there was this unofficial rule that if you were going to propose adding to the budget, that you had to either offer a cut elsewhere in the budget to pay for it, or, you know, clearly identify a revenue source. I think we've gotten away from that over the years, and so, but at the same time, we do all have to keep in mind that if we're going to be adding $90,000, where is it going to come from? So, Maureen, you don't need to respond or have any offer anything on this tonight. You can wait till another night, but if you have some thoughts.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'm always happy to respond. We certainly, Alderman Albright and I, had a lot of conversation about this resolution. So, you know, we certainly are fully aware of it. Alderman Fuller's comments are, I think, very important for all of us to consider. So, I mean, the planning department certainly has a tremendous amount of work to do. I think what the administration would be more than willing to commit to is working with the planning director as the new person is hired, getting that person on board, understanding really from the planning director what the staffing needs are, and then evaluating that in the larger context of the rest of the city. So I do not think the answer, as I told Alderman Albright, I wouldn't expect our answer to be, this is a great idea, we should have thought of it. But what we can certainly commit to is reevaluating that department. Riverside had not passed at the time that we put the budget together. In fact, I think it passed the evening that we delivered the budget to you. So, you know, there have been some changes, but I don't know, and although I speak for the mayor often on many things, on this particular instance, I don't know if this would be the next municipal position that the mayor would look to fill.
Is that something that you would be able to share with us, at a subsequent budget meeting? Because When I say that we've gotten away from the rule of identifying a cut to be able to fund a resolution like this, I think that what we do with these resolutions is we try to let the administration know where our priorities are. And before I was going to vote on that, I guess I'd like to hear an answer to Alderman Fuller's question that, you know, if you, the next position, if you had one to add, you know, where would it be? You know, I don't know if you're going to be able to share that with us.
I don't know if we will or not either. We certainly have time set aside tomorrow to discuss whichever resolutions pass the board this evening. So I will clearly, you know, take it back to the mayor, and if he has a sense of what he would do next, you know, we will certainly put that in a memo to you for your Friday packets. So we certainly will discuss it, but I'm not quite sure what the answer will be.
Alderman Albright's been looking to speak, and then Alderman Baker.
So I understand Alderman Fuller's question, but I just want to reiterate that the purpose of this position is to move projects along that are all going to generate new growth and therefore new tax revenue. All the other positions that you mentioned, Alderman Fuller, in the police department, or I forget all the rest of them, they're not revenue generators. They're great positions to have, but they're not revenue generators. This position can generate the revenue that could pay for those positions in other departments. So I think that this is quite different from everything else. I just wanted to make sure that that was on the table when you mentioned that to the mayor.
Alderman Baker and then Alderman Ciccone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I wouldn't be prepared to support the resolution tonight for some of the reasons that have been articulated, because I don't see a funding source. But I think that one of the things that the resolution does, and a companion resolution which we haven't examined yet about ISD, is really to say the building and planning review process of the city has some opportunities to advance some things if we have additional staff, but also I think it's important that it be looked at in the context of how much staff time is being consumed by people who also come in who never carry something forward at all. I've heard that the planning department has review processes and set meetings with all sorts of people who come in and say, would you give us feedback on this, that, and the other thing? And they spend an enormous amount of time, and then something never comes forward as a result of that. So, or people come back multiple times in various commissions for similar projects, or they get turned down once and they come back again, and maybe the fee structure needs to be looked at. There's some things we want to encourage. There's some things we want to bear their fair share of cost. And I guess I think that the value of the resolution is to raise the threshold of everyone's awareness that this is a useful conversation to have with the executive about how we're trying to advance the kind of issues that Alderman Albright is talking about. But it seems to me premature to say we need this position and that's the way to solve that problem, rather than saying, can you step back, take a look at this situation and say, can we enhance our revenue producing capacity in the city and also make sure that our staff is spending its time wisely where we do want to spend it. So that's where I come out on this one.
Okay, Alderman Ciccone. And then we need to start to think about moving forward here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I get a tremendous amount of respect for everybody on this board, and especially the folks who take the time out to put these resolutions together. But I'll have to disagree with Alderman Albright when she comes out and says that the police department isn't a revenue generator. I know there's plenty of places in the police department where it's generating revenue. I can bring up there's the parking control officers, the police officers that are writing the citations, as well as there's a truck team right now that's writing thousands of dollars of fines that are generating revenue. So I would disagree with that. On top of the police department, the last 4 years hasn't added any personnel. However, about 4 years ago, they did cut 16 positions. So I just want to make that clear.
Thank you. Alderman Hesman here.
I'll just be really quick. This is an order of magnitude that we're talking about here. I remember when the mayor was running, he talked a lot about strengthening the planning department so that we can generate more revenue for the city. And I agree with that. And I know maybe this is a little bit hard to capture, but let me put it in numbers. Last night, I was talking with the developers of the Riverside project, and we were talking about what it could mean for the city. Just the building permit alone is $3 million. and the annual revenue from property taxes starts out at $2.8 million. That's the kind of numbers we're looking at. The planning department has had more and more and more work heaped on it, and all I know is that I'm watching projects that come in, and I'm talking to business owners, restaurateurs, and other people who can't get their project looked at by the design review team in a timely fashion because it just isn't enough time. We're losing opportunities there, folks. These are dollars, okay? I understand that, you know, we want to be able to take from Peter and give to Paul in the budget as a resolution, but I think this resolution more is an aspiration than anything else. I would really like to get us back on the right track to generating some revenue by not losing some of those business opportunities.
And then I'm going to ask if we could take a vote on the resolution.
I just want to make it clear. I agree that the planning department needs help, and I appreciate the attempts of trying to identify where those funds are going to come from, but I would like to slightly counter what Alderman Hesnahan is saying, that yes, this would generate revenues in development, but as we know, not that it's necessarily a bad thing, but with new development, we need to remember to offset the other cost that it generates to the other services within the city, you know, to our schools, to our police, to our roads. I'm not saying that they don't balance out. I'm just reminding to put everything in context and that there's more of a net balance as opposed to just the revenues generated by development. That said, you know, I will agree that I do feel that our planning department is currently stressed.
Alderman Sangiolo.
Mine was just a quick thing to point out that if you look on page 3 of the budget, regular overtime has increased. And Brian, Marcy, Lyle, and I participated in the meeting right before we came here, and it was discussing how most of that overtime is being eaten by a preservation planner, Brian Lever, because of all the meetings, and that's multiple times. So I share Alderman Albright and Alderman Hesnahan's desire to have another person on board, but I also share Alderman Fuller's. We really need to know, you know, in the grand scheme of things, how it all fits in.
Okay, the resolution is before you. I'm going to ask that we vote, but with a show of hands on this one. All those in favor of the resolution. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I see 17, David. Opposed? No one's opposed, and I assume the others are abstentions. Please raise your hand if you're abstaining. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Five? Okay. All right, so we'll look forward to the mayor's response. All right, now back to the budget, planning budget. It was, I assume, approved at $1,118,506. Are there any questions on any other area of the planning budget? Okay, seeing none, may I have a motion? To approve is made by Alderman Johnson and seconded by Alderman Danberg. Voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Public buildings.
On page 87 of the reports docket, Chief Operating Officer Robert Rooney started the presentation that evening, and from the administration perspective, the department is one of the city's success stories. There's been a lot of changes made within the department that were really big improvements according to what the presentation that was presented to us. Once he completed his presentation, we heard from the commissioner, Stephanie Gilman, and she went on. And then we had Josh, Morse, who pretty much handles most of the situations in our buildings in this city. Some of the things that were accomplished in 2012 was developed the first of its kind fully integrated prioritized citywide capital improvement plan based on a complete capital infrastructure condition assessment. Manage the renovation of Station 7, addition 4 modular elementary classrooms, initiated MSVA process for Andrew School and other school municipal projects, completed over 7,500 repair and maintenance work orders as well as 190 summer projects. And that pretty much sums up what the accomplishments were in 2012. What they plan to continue doing is efficient management of FAA, car school swing space renovations, Andrew Elementary School and project design work for Station 10, a refined CIP plan with expanded risk analysis included energy efficient consequence factor and easy access for the public, more effective maintenance and operations, improved energy efficient through a solar panel installation, house meters and performance contracting, and revised design and selection and design review process that is more efficient and effective. A great many things have taken place in this department, and it was a very good presentation, and that's the report.
Are there any questions on the public buildings budget? Yes, Alderman Crossley.
Well, actually, I was at that presentation, but I'd just like to make a comment for the record. I think that this department, like others, and as we've just been talking about, the planning department is doing a lot with a little, or with less than maybe we ought to be giving it. But the administration has done, I think, a very good job of identifying new people to add skill sets and so forth to the department. I think as we go forward, and this is something we should be keeping our eye on because we're talking about adding more and more and more capital projects into the mix that require not only people to oversee the work and project manage the stuff for us, but also quality control on the ground. And that was, I thought, one of the things that came up in our budget hearings that is something that needs to be worked on.
Thank you. Maureen, we're sort of flipping pages up here because I noticed in the report it says that the budget was approved for $3,726,778. Yet on the first page, it has the budget at $3,306,778.
The 3,000,007 is the correct number. What we did on the front page, the 3,000,003, we pulled out the 420,000. That's the water for the school buildings that we added in the FY12 budget. So on that front page, we wanted you to be able to compare apples to apples. So the 3.7 million is the number that needs to be approved.
So this budget, because I have been reading, you know, the numbers from the front page. All right. It can be found later, page six in the department detail. Okay, so the budget that was approved unanimously in public buildings was for $3,726,778. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none on a voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Okay, financial information systems.
This is a new department which will have a budget in fiscal year 13 of $368,823. It will consist of 2.4 people, all people who currently work doing these jobs just in different departments as we talked about earlier. The department is established to support and train all the different departments in the city on financial functions with a particular emphasis on payroll and receivables. The 2.4 people will be the director, Ann Pinaro, who came to speak with us, a payroll analyst, and a part-time...
Dan, excuse me for a minute. Okay. I just wanted to make sure Alderman Blazer was not stepping outside the rail, because as we thin, people need to, you have to count. Make sure you don't walk out and leave us with only 11 or 12, okay? So all of you that are here, don't leave your seats. Go ahead, Ruthann, I'm sorry.
No problem. Hopefully it's not the subject matter that is boring and is driving people out of the room. The last person is a part-time data control clerk. I'll also note that much of it is the expense budget also migrated from other departments as well. This did carry unanimously in the Finance Committee.
Okay. Are there any questions? Yes. Alderman Lareo.
So is it fair to say that we have all these positions filled already and it's simply a matter of moving people around?
That is correct.
Okay. And this person will report to Maureen, I presume?
Correct.
I think we have, is one vacant? We have one vacant.
What's...
And then, is that true, Mark? We have one vacant, and we're in the process of filling it, or?
Yes. If I can also add one note, I think the intention of the CFO is eventually to move water and sewer billing also into this department in the next year or so.
All right, you all set up now? Alderman Johnson?
I was just hoping, I was making notes from before as we were moving people into this department. I two came from HR, and one we're still trying to fill. So that leaves three other people. Where are they coming from?
The total department will be 2.4 people. A combination of HR and from from IT.
So there's only 2.4 people right now who are in the whole department. It's a small
one.
Any other questions? Oh yes, Alderman Johnson.
Thank you. And I wasn't able to go to the budget meeting that night, so I apologize. But at some point, kind of, is there, Maureen, a kind of a visionary document of how you see this evolving? Because my recollection on the HR transition team for the mayor, along with other parts of the organization, that the IT was salt and peppered through the organization, and I know that with the financial systems they can get a little homegrown. And so is there something you can give to me, kind of your vision of how some of these little homegrown pieces kind of get integrated between the IT department under the CIO and this group, just to help differentiate? It would be helpful.
If I may, I think the only thing that's written that would address those questions really are is the report from the IT Advisory Committee. This department really is formed to service the financial departments or administrators throughout the city. So this department isn't, even though it's financial information systems, they won't be installing systems.
I support the CFO at the company where I work, so I understand. But
you know, DPW could have people who do system stuff that are DPW specific or police specific.
Yes.
That are applications. It's not the hardware, it's not the backbone, it's all that kind of stuff. And so is it the goal is to integrate some of those so you have a financial systems, which are the applications, the end user, not the hardware and software, the network and fiber optics and all that kind of good stuff. Is that where you're going with
this? The answer is yes.
Yes. So anything that you have that you could provide, not just me but the others, because I, you know, after 5 years of supporting the finance organization, I know how things can get spread out and how do you make so you don't get this creep. Okay, thanks.
Okay, are there any other questions? Moved approval of this department at $368,824. May I have a motion? Motion's made by Alderman Fuller and approved and seconded by Alderman Lappin. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Okay. Police. Alderman Ciccone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chief Cummins and Lieutenant Dowling presented the budget. The number was 17,956,517. Some of the things that we wanted to bring up this evening, there is a K-9 unit now with the police department, Officer Valenti, who spent many hours of his own time, had done all kinds of background information gathering, again, all on his own time to try to put this together. We talked with the chief for many meetings to get this to be a unit that could happen in the Newton Police Department, which came to fruition, as well as adding a truck team as well. Officer Marini's out there every single day writing hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in fines and keeping the city's streets that much safer from these big overloaded trucks. There was one question that came up during the budget session regarding the new addition of the deputy chiefs. And I do have the chief here tonight. He was kind enough to make it here to answer any questions about it. There is a resolution on the same budget regarding moving some money from one account to another, and I've talked to the doctor about this, and the account to be moved to with the friendly amendment was to budget reserve with the comptroller for the same amount of $36,227. And again, that number for the budget this year would be $17,956,517.
Okay, so we're, I guess, talking about budget resolution number two. We also had a memo from Maureen asking that the $36,227 be transferred from court time to wage reserve. Now, as far as the wage reserve, it's my understanding that we're not talking necessarily about wage reserve within the police department. That would go to the wage reserve that is in the comptroller's department.
That would be the amendment, and the doctor of the item agreed to it.
Friendly amendment. Okay. Is there anything else, Brian, you want to, as the maker of the resolution, that you'd like to add?
No, I was willing to enter in it tonight, or whichever way is most appropriate.
Okay. Discussion on the resolution. So again, the resolution would be to transfer money out of the court time into the wage reserve account that is in the comptroller's budget. The understanding being that as these talks evolve within the police department at the appropriate time, if there's monies that needed to be transferred, that the chief would come back in along with the administration to public safety to discuss it. It would be necessary because it's in the comptroller's account, but he's also indicated his willingness to do so. So are there any questions on this resolution? Yes. Okay. So Let's take a voice vote then on the resolution. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Okay, it passes unanimously. Okay, so we're back on the main budget.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't know if at the appropriate time if you were going to recognize the chief to discuss a little more in detail about the deputy chief positions. But I just wanted to let folks know that I did speak with the chairman of public safety and the chief and the CFO and the chairman of finance. I did receive some phone calls and emails after the budget presentation from colleagues regarding the establishment of these new positions, and there was a question was if this constituted a reorganization or not of the executive staff. I looked at it as in reading the charter where it says in the charter it recognizes, it says if there is a if you were to reorganize in whole or in part, that would constitute compliance with that charter, section of the charter. So I've talked to them about that, and not wanting to hold up the entire budget, my hope would be that the chief would come back, or the mayor's office would come back with a docket item for a reorganization to establish these positions. I didn't want to hold the budget up because I believe all the positions are still in the budget, and we are setting this money aside. If there needs to be some sort of salary adjustments with regard to the establishment of these positions, but I do feel that some colleagues may want to weigh in, but my sense was that this did constitute as a reorganization. The memo that was put in our packet by the law department, while I appreciated it, it didn't really touch on the aspect of whether this constituted as a reorganization or not. It touched on the piece about what is currently in our ordinances in terms of staffing. So I didn't sound like the night of the budget discussion that there was any real opposition to doing this. I just felt that as someone who has to try in my capacity to be looking at charter and ordinances and how we facilitate our work, I felt that that's what this constituted, and I was appreciative that the chief and Maureen, while I don't know if they necessarily agreed, they agreed to go forward in this fashion so we could get the budget moved and that they could come back in. So I just wanted to let my colleagues be aware of that.
It's up to the chair. If you want to ask the chief to say a few words, or if the chief wants to say a few words, he's certainly welcome. So it seems, we do have it seems as though there's been a peaceful resolution, so he can also just sit back and relax.
I would leave it up to the chief, but like you just put very eloquently, Mr. Chairman, that I think that it's presented just the way that it should be.
Okay, I do want to point out on the resolution that the memo that we received from Maureen, the account number will change because I think that this was the wage reserve within the department, and the comptroller and David Olson have identified the proper account number so that it goes into the wage reserve and the comptroller's account. All right. So I think we're all set as far as the resolution goes. Are there any questions on the any other aspect of the budget? Alderman Linsky.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I noticed in the budget report, Alderman Johnson asked the question about whether or not the budgeting for the Quinn bill was under the education incentive line. I didn't see the answer to that, but I'm assuming yes. Marcy, do you know what the answer was to that?
Yes, I was going to abstain on this. I did get the information. Well, let me put it this way. It's in my inbox, and due to my work schedule, I haven't read it yet, and I had hoped it would be on my desk tonight or our desk, but Becca was out, so we will have it going forward, but I don't have that information. So, yes, it's on its way.
I have it.
The education piece was in your packets.
To include what was on the Quinn bill is what I had asked Dolores
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Right.
And so for police, it,
and fire.
Right. So police, it's the $1,433,750. For fire, it's $540,877. That was on the Quinn bill piece is on here. The training, you are correct.
Yeah, I wanted everything, so that's right.
Training you didn't.
Yeah.
But, but the Quinn bill is here.
Maureen, what does that translate to in a percentage increase from, or percentage change from previous fiscal year?
For police?
Yeah.
Very little. I don't know the number offhand, but I would assume it's very little. In the police department, it's only the impact of any salary increases that people received. The fire department, there clearly is a difference.
Yeah, and what's that change? I was just looking just at the...
The fire department changed by, I want to say, probably between 150 or 200,000. You know, which certainly had to do with how we, what we negotiated in this last round.
You know, I didn't add all the different columns because it's broken out by sub-departments, so, but you think it's 150,000?
For an increase, it's very difficult to look at what we had in there this year and just look at the difference. You can't do that because the way that it was paid out before, it was only paid once a year in December. But if anyone were to leave our employment either by resigning or retiring or whatever at any point in the course of the year, we then owed them for their prorated portion of their education. And so part of what we did this year when we negotiated the contract, we actually brought that up to date. And now we pay out education on a weekly basis so that now if someone leaves, we don't owe them their education money. So you can't really just take those numbers. But what it is for FY13, for police, it's a little over $1.4 million. And for fire, it's $540,000.
Yeah, but on the fire, if I remember correctly, they had kind of a squirrely education incentive program prior to the Quinn bill being adopted at the contract, the new contracts, right? Something by credits and I mean, it was really weird.
It was
pretty minimal, but it was weird.
It was, right, $35 a credit hour.
Yeah, but, you know, how you qualified for that was kind of strange. So, I mean, so it was pretty minimal. I would imagine that this all would go up as the firefighters start going to school.
Absolutely. And you know, as we said at the time, as a city, we were buying something. And we bought education.
Okay. The approved number out of public safety is for $17,956,517 as amended. Any other discussion? Is there a motion? Motion by Alderman Ciccone and seconded by Alderman Salvucci. Voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention. Okay. Fire. Excuse me, Alderman Ciccone, for those of you that are following our ancient heroes, it was Boston 107, Philadelphia 91.
Thank you for the update, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, wait a minute, were you taping it? How can you stay up that late? Oh, you got a baby, that's right.
Go ahead. Okay, Chief Poyer and Assistant Chief Shagnon presented the budget of the fire department. They come upon a number of vacancies recently, and they're actually right now interviewing and doing background checks for the positions of, I believe, 10 new firefighters at this time. Their proposed budget is $17,193,198. Some of the things that we looked at in from the previous year was the completion of Station 7. They do have rappelling capabilities of for training at that building right now. It's quite a sight. I was actually there and I did see some of the things that these firefighters can do, and that's something that they're looking forward to doing the process in the coming years ahead. And it's quite an addition to the fire department when we do have people that can be rescued from the tops of buildings because the firefighters are having this training. So again, that was $17,193,198 in that passed in committee unanimously.
No resolutions?
No resolutions with the fire department.
Questions? Okay. All right, seeing none, may I have a motion for $17,193,198 for the fire department? Motion is made by Alderman Swiston and seconded by Alderman Fishman. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes unanimously. One abstention, David. Okay, inspectional services.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me, the report starts on page 139 in our budget report book. A pretty simple budget, probably the greatest, and this leads right into the resolution that Alderman Crossley and Hesmahan put forward this evening, was around the fees. And this can be found in the second paragraph on page 140 of the report as to whether the fees, and now we're just talking about inspectional services. We had talked about them very briefly in the planning as well regarding design review. And so he thought that they were too low. And then we had a brief discussion about tying them up and making odd sense, but that's the least of the problems. So Maureen was with us that evening, and if you see that on the sort of the bottom half of the next to last paragraph on this page, that Maureen said that the administration wants the fees to there will be a comprehensive look this summer at fees that all departments charge. So obviously Maureen can talk about and how that relates to the resolution that Alderman Crossley and Hesmahan put forward, and whether that would cover looking at new fees, such as what was asked of Candace during the planning department budget. So I think that was the biggest discussion item financially at Inspectional Services. There were some questions, concerns raised by Alderman Lappin around some of the outcomes, and so I would imagine that Maureen took those away, but since this is a budget discussion, I want to focus on the budget. Unless people have other comments or concerns about this department, again, this is a department that works very hard. He did talk about creation of a new position, actually. I take that back. It's not in the report, but there's this deputy commissioner and of zoning, and actually I think it might be he's looking... and maybe given your definition, and I would like some clarity, and I think it might be here, but around what constitutes a reorg. So I think you did put it here. I thought it was in the report about possibly moving David Norton into the position. Yeah, it's on the top of page 140. Deputy commissioner has been created, and Commissioner Lojek is working hard to get someone this role to help with David Norton. So I don't know if Maureen has any comments on either that or the, I think for the fees it would be good for the board to hear kind of what you said to us that night.
if I may, Mr. Chairman. I think many of you are aware that there had been a docket item introduced a few months ago having to do with some fire department fees. And we ended up asking for that to be NAN'd. I think it's probably anyone who was on public safety knew about this. And as we looked back, there was a real discrepancy. Years ago, I think it was in about 2003, the board actually passed a docket item enabling department heads to adjust their own fees without coming back to the board. And so when we researched this, we realized that some of our fees that we were currently charging are not in the ordinances. We almost don't like have some real record of fees being changed along the way. And so that prompted us to ask for that piece of legislation to be NAN'd, and our intent is this summer, as we once again put together a list of summer projects, studying the fees was going to be part of that. And so what I first said that evening was that we would be more than happy. We're going to take a look at all of the fees. As the conversation progressed, though, and as this resolution was developed, if Alderman Crossley and Alderman Hesmahan want to work with us and focus in really on the ISD fees and changing the structure of those, and certainly looking at the planning department, and as Alderman Baker, I think it was earlier, that said that many people come in and take up a lot of our time and then do nothing with the plans. And so if a group wants to, we're more than happy to take those on two separate tracks. So, you know, if you pass this resolution, I can assure you we are going to be giving you a favorable answer, because they really are two different things.
Okay. So it sounds like we should pass the resolution. Yes, Alderman Sangiola.
So, Maureen, when you say that you're going to look at all the fees, is that including the school fees, too?
No. No, strictly municipal.
Well, is anyone going to be looking at the school
fees? We do not have purview over the school fees. Those are, the school committee is the one that sets those.
Yeah, the mayor's a member.
Well, we will not be taking the school fees on.
Okay, on the resolution, why don't we just move the resolution anyway and take that on a voice vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so that most, the resolution passes unanimously. Are there questions on the other aspects of the budget, which was approved at $1,104,214? I have one. I think I heard someone say that David Norton has been moved into a new position. So does that means that the zoning code enforcement position is vacant?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. Do you? Okay, go ahead.
Mr. DeToma, the chief plans examiner, is retiring, and Mr. Norton is the likely recommended candidate to move up from zoning enforcement to the deputy commissioners. However, since we don't have the position established or the money to pay for it yet, I would assume he's still in his current position.
So, you know, I've heard, the reason I'm asking is I've heard the opposite, that that he is out of that position, that it's vacant, and that the individual building inspectors, if there's a complaint, as we all know there are many,
yeah,
that the individual building inspectors are being asked to investigate the complaint if it's in their area.
That could be, but that's not what the commissioner said.
All right. And Maureen, do you know on that?
I don't know.
Of us that have been around a while, we know that, you know, the zoning code enforcement officer is an extremely important position, because we all get complaints. So, all right, maybe we could get some clarification in the next few days. Are there any other questions? If not, can I have a motion on the $1,104,214 number as approved by planning, zoning and planning? Moved by Alderman Crossley, seconded by Alderman Yates. The voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Motion passes unanimously. Okay, Public Works.
Public Works, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is your mic on, Sal?
I got it. There seem to be some discrepancy, unless I'm reading something wrong here. On the first page of the budget book, it shows the budget for 2013 is $65,729,200. And on the reports docket, and the report, the budget report book on page 144, it says $18,996,000. Which one do I go by?
The 18,996.
Can I pick which one I want?
18,996.
So it's a misprint in the book.
No, what we did on the first page on this one, there were a couple of pages that we did different things. We included water and sewer on the page, the color page, so that everybody would really see what the magnitude of this department is.
So
The 19 million or 18 million is the number that you want for this portion of the meeting.
Well, thank you. So the budget is 18,909,096,237. Okay, and let's see. Accomplishments. Paved 7 miles of streets and 6.7 miles of sidewalk. Completed over 100 sidewalk and curbing betterments. Water and sewer, completed 3 miles of water sewer rehab projects, replaced 14,000 water meters, repaired 260 water leaks, 42 sewer line failures, and 226 catch basin manholes. Recycled 36% of curbside solid waste and overall 53% of all municipal waste. Added new bike lanes on Beacon Street, began citywide traffic signal retiming project. The desired outcomes for the future have improved conditions of streets and sidewalks for motorists and pedestrians, fully automate water meter system that reads usage accurately and remotely, we hope, reduced amount of stormwater and groundwater in sewer system, and increased capacity in water system. Snow removal, beautify Newton, greater cleanliness and curb appeal in village centers and other municipal properties. Sustained municipal solid waste collection that includes a 30% curbside recycling rate. Streetlights and traffic, safe pedestrian and bicycle conditions, and that's the report, Mr. Chairman.
Question on the report. I'm just going to ask Maureen. When we were doing, when my committee, Programs and Services, was looking at Parks and Rec, there seems to be a lot of, you know, Parks and Rec went down because DPW took. If it's possible for the next time we meet, could you put together sort of a chart or a list of what went to where so I can, it's just hard to track it.
Yeah, sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Yes. Yes. David, Alderman Kalis.
So my question, Maureen, I know that during this presentation there wasn't a lot of clarity around Beautify Newton. I know that it's a new initiative. I'm just wondering if there's any more. I know there was discussion at the meeting, and I'm wondering if you have any more detail on what it is and then the out years and how it's supported.
Unfortunately, I don't have any more information for you this evening, but I do believe that Public Works is more than willing to come back to the Public Facilities Committee once everything really is formulated and give you a presentation.
The DPW budget can be found on page, or the figure that has been recommended is at the bottom of page 15 in the mayor's budget book. And the figure is $18,996,237. So that is the number that has been recommended by Public Facilities. Are there any other questions? Okay, seeing none, voice vote, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? One abstention. Okay. Okay, there is a resolution which is resolution number 7, which I would say comes under DPW. It's Alderman Hesmahan. It's a resolution requesting that the administration study the feasibility of adopting pay-by-phone technologies for parking meters. Alderman Hesmahan, did you want to comment on that?
Yeah, thank you. Actually, this came about because this morning I was sitting at the medical center and brought my father there, and we were there for quite a while. So I got to read a number of newspapers, and then I started fiddling on my smartphone. And I discovered that, first of all, Boston, there's an item in Boston that we're going to be looking at this, and there's a working system in Washington, D.C., where using your smartphone and an app, you can actually put money into your meter. And it gets them more revenue to do it. It means that people like me, who are far more likely to have a smartphone in my pocket than a quarter, can pay for a parking meter and don't end up orbiting the neighborhood looking for a spot or a meter that's already got time on it. I didn't know whether this was appropriate for a budget resolution or not. I'm happy to talk it as a regular item, but I thought since we're taking up some of these other fees that it was something that we should look at.
Okay, are there any questions or comments on the resolution? Yes, Alderman Swiston.
Just a question. Alderman Hesmahan had asked. It sounds like a great idea, but it doesn't sound like something that belongs as a budget resolution, right? That should be just docketed as something because we don't have any, right?
No, I think, it's certainly fair game for the budget. I don't see a problem with it asking that the administration just take a look at it. It could have been done either way. It's kind of like an outside section is what I would say it is. But we don't do too many of those, so I think it's pretty harmless.
Chairman Gentile?
Yes.
Haven't we had some conversations, Alderman Ciccone, with Clint about, looking at all kinds of ways of parking meter? I remember sitting in countless presentations and stuff. Is that some work that's already been done, or
is it?
Still studying, but we got the plan doing with, still going on with the technologies that Luke can do right now that he's trying to concentrate on.
Okay,
that.
Well,
but there has been some talk regarding that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because I know Brookline had something going on that he was looking into, as well as the city of Boston. So it's something, yeah,
that's right.
That's what I thought.
Credit cards and other things. So
yes, exactly.
If we pass this resolution, I just think it's another way of making payment that that Clint and others can take a look at. So again, I think it's pretty harmless. I suggest maybe we just move it quickly unless, yes, Alderman Schwartz.
Just wondering if Alderman Hesmahan would be open to a friendly amendment Since we are looking on safety and public safety and transportation, parking meters, and as Alderman Ciccone mentioned, the LUC method, which is a system that's already in place in the Cypress lot, and potentially other credit card methods, I wonder if you would include that in the pay-by-phone or credit card methods, as we do want them to look at all of these methods, not just pay-by-phone.
I mean, if somebody wants to amend it, that's fine with me. I mean, I just wanted to explore this because I think it's a technology that would benefit a lot of people, and I know a lot of people in Newton who either work here or live here who have smartphones who happily do that. I mean, the credit card thing's a great idea. It's just that you have to go to a kiosk to do it. The way that the app works is it's actually, you're standing in front of the meter, it's got a wireless transmitter, and you just, it deducts it automatically. So, but again, I'll take it as a friendly amendment. Whatever.
So Alderman Schwartz, can you just, you know, again, just state what you'd like to see added to the resolution?
So I would just formulate it as a resolution requesting that the administration study the feasibility of adopting pay-by-phone technologies and other payment methods for parking meters.
Okay. That's fine.
That would be great. Thanks.
Okay. Everybody has the resolution. Any other comments? All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it passes unanimously. All right, I would like to start to wind this down and get you out of here, but there's a couple of things I want to go over. Yes, Alderman Johnson?
What about budget resolution number 6?
That's what I'm going to talk about. Because we were trying to take them up, you know, as we got to a particular department or CIP. But what I was going to suggest is, here's the schedule, folks. We have this coming Monday night that is set aside for budget time. We still have a fair amount of work to do. There's several departments left. There's, of course, the school department. We need to take a formal vote on the CIP. And we also need to spend a little time on the revolving fund. So I just want you to know that if we get through all of that on Monday night, obviously that would be fine, but we also have the 24th as an additional date. So President wants to make sure that everyone is aware that if we don't finish our work on Monday evening, that we will have another budget session, which I'm sure we'll be able to complete our work on the 24th. So if we are going to possibly conclude on Monday, then the last thing I would like to do this evening is to just make sure that we have gone through all the budget resolutions so that we can at least get those to the mayor so that the mayor can respond to us before our next meeting. Okay, so I see that Alderman Yates has a resolution with regard to the feasibility of offering discounted water and sewer rates, but I also saw a resolution from Alderman Fuller and others that I thought took that suggestion from you, Brian, and expanded it. So is that here, though?
I think it's like 7 or 8.
Oh, it's 6.
6.
6.
Well, I suppose.
So, Brian, can we...
I'll move NAN on the first.
All right, so we're going to NAN 3.
Yep.
All right, folks, the motion is to NAN resolution number 3. All in favor, please say aye. Opposed? All right, so that is NAN. Budget resolution number 6, Alderman Yates Crossing in Fuller talks about the water and sewer rates and a number of different rate structures and possible discounts in billing and methodology. Do you folks want to, I think it's pretty straightforward. Does anyone have a concern about it that would like to ask the makers of the resolution a question? Otherwise, I think that we can just move it, unless somebody has a concern that they would like to raise with the makers of the resolution. All right. Seeing none, then on a voice vote, budget resolution number 6, which is an extensive water and sewer rate study, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, that item passes unanimously. And then the last item is the one that was referenced earlier this evening. It's budget resolution number 8, It's the IT fiber project. And this is being offered by Alderman Lappin and Albright. Those of us in finance are pretty familiar with this because we had the IT Advisory Committee report. And basically, it's just asking that the city try. Right now, the plan is to replace our fiber over a three-year period. This resolution is asking that it be a two-year project. Alderman Lappin and Albright, if you wanted to share a comment on it, offer a comment on it.
Sure, thank you. This was in the CIP over 3 years, and after hearing the IT advisory group report, this is not news that we need a fiber network in Newton. I think it was part of their blue ribbon, red ribbon years ago, so this is not news, but it's nice to see, I was happy to see that the administration put some funding into the CIP. However, 3 years in Alderman Albright, in my opinion, is too long, and there are significant savings that have been identified that we could. Why not get the savings earlier? And so if we could move this up to 2 years or less, we can start realizing the savings now. And I'll let Alderman Albright talk about the second half.
So the only thing I would add to that is that not having a fiber backbone means that some of the applications, certainly that the school department wants to do, which might even involve distance learning that we've been looking to for a long time across the two high schools. So some of the applications that we want to do in Newton we can't do because we don't have a fast fiber network. And so not only will it save us money, but we'll be able to do more things efficiently. So that's it.
Okay. Are there any comments? We were expecting in finance for the administration to get back to us on this, you know, at some point in June anyway. So, personally, I think that it's fine. Alderman Ciccone?
I would just agree with the two aldermen that put this together. Sometimes 3 years, we're back in the dark ages again. It's time for us to step up, especially when it's coming to the schools. I mean, the kids just deserve at least that. That's my opinion.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yes.
Okay. Seeing none, let's on a voice vote. All those in favor of the resolution, please say aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, the motion passes unanimously. Okay, so I would ask that that we recess the committee of the whole. Right, David? As I always say, behave while you're in recess. And we'll look it up on Monday. Monday is a regular full board meeting. My understanding is that we will have first call reports, and then we will go right into the budget. We will pick it up with the Health and Human Services Department. All right? So we are adjourned for the evening and in recess. Thank you very much.
Before everyone leaves, we've recessed the committee of the whole, but I'm going to ask for an adjournment of the full board meeting, okay? We made a motion to go into committee of the whole, so this is actually a board meeting. So at this time, first of all, before I recognize Alderman Laredo, I'd like to thank the chairman for running an excellent meeting this evening, and we expect he will do as good a job on Monday evening, so if not better. All right, at this time, I'll recognize Alderman Laredo.
Move to adjourn.
Okay, all those in favor, and say aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Alderman St. Joe, did you want to make a quick announcement?
Relay for Life, guys, is this weekend, the 19th and the 20th. Alderman Rice has graciously volunteered to walk from 4 to 6 a.m. I'm doing the 12 to 4 a.m. shift. Alderman Johnson has graciously offered offer to walk when it begins at 6 to about 7, 7:30. I need filler people. Oh, Alderman Swiston also around the same time. Alderman Linsky has volunteered. I see Alderman Hesmahan. We need as many people as possible because I've got a full weekend that week. So I need help.
It's usually a freshman obligation too, so if any of our freshmen are still here. So we haven't heard from them yet, but we'll make sure that we have three stellar freshmen on our Kids in Jeopardy team.
Mr. President,
Alderman Linsky.
Well, Alderman Salvucci has a commentary on a budget, which we can do now or lead into next time.
I got a joke, Mr. President.
Why don't we kick off our on Monday evening with a joke?
You don't want to end with one.
Well, no, everyone's listening. Do you want to tell a joke now?
It's up to you.
Yeah.
It's a quick one anyway. I'm losing a lot of these, you know. Anyway, there was this the husband and wife, they were farmers, old timers, you know. But the guy was a real nasty, nasty man. The woman was so obliging, and she accommodated his every wish, but he was just no good. So one day, he's out plowing the fields with his mule. And she comes out to bring him his lunch, and she tries to present it in such a fashion that it'd make him happy. You know, she had napkins, and she had everything was with little flowers in a vase, you know. But this guy started grumbling and hollering at her and just swearing her. And the mule got so excited, he kicked him in the head and killed him. So they had the services in the church. And after the services, everybody's walking out and they're going to the woman, offering their condolences. And the minister noted that when the women went up, she went like this. And when the men went up, she shook her head positive. So the minister couldn't understand these two different motions. So he goes up to her after the service. He says, "You've got to explain something to me. Why, when the women come up, when the men come up, you're in agreement? And when the women come up, you're in disagreement?" She says, "They wanted to know if the donkey was for sale."